Fayetteville Fire Podcast, your source for all the safety, fire, and sometimes random info you never knew you wanted. I'm Captain Steve Shakeshaft, your host for the podcast, and I got the best job ever. Let's talk about it.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Wonderful.
It's great to be here.
Oh, and who's the loud one now?
That's right.
So real quick, before we get started, I wanted to have you guys here. You have a really awesome partnership going on. I'm still learning what you guys got happening, but I want to get to know you first. Guess first, is it Captain Klein?
Captain, Chaplain, Rabbi. I've got a lot of different titles depending on the day, but Chaplain is really the one that I'm most proud of. Yeah, Chaplain Scott Klein.
All right. And what, so in the Army, obviously, you're a chaplain, and you said you're a rabbi. So what, I know what a chaplain does in the fire service. Is it similar? We'll talk to Garrett about that in a minute.
Yeah, it's very similar. Essentially, Ministry of Presence, being there for our service members. We have an interesting structure where I have two bosses. I work, I'm a chaplain in the 82nd Airborne Division, and I've got about 1,000 soldiers that I both provide for their spiritual care needs, pastoral care needs. I also advise the commander. But additionally, I'm also an asset for the garrison, for the base, for Fort Bragg. Of course, proud. We are all proud that Fort Bragg, the largest military base by population, and I'm the only rabbi. I'm the only Jewish chaplain on the installation. So in that capacity, I serve all of the units across the installation. And actually, I'm the only rabbi in Fayetteville, too. So serve this city as well.
That's awesome, man. And Captain Rogerson, tell us a little bit about you.
Like you said, Captain Rogerson. I've been with the fire department 16 and a half years. I've been a chaplain for the past 12 years or so. The first little bit of my career, I tried to do it on my own without having faith. And the more and more I did this job and see the scenes that we respond to and all the not so happy things that we run into, I found faith, and I know I needed it, and I know that there's departmental members that need it as well. So I'm happy to fill the role as a chaplain, just to be able to be that listening ear that our folks need after seeing some of the things that they see, and not only the job, but also their personal lives can take a toll on somebody. And I just like being there to be able to be that sounding board for them and just help them navigate through life's struggles.
Okay. And how many, what are we, like 8 chaplains now? How many chaplains
yes, sir.
We got?
Yeah, 8.
8 chaplains?
Yes, sir. And 2 of them are retirees, which enables them to have that deep connection with their peers that they worked with throughout the years. And we've also got some a couple younger departmental members that are serving as chaplains. So we're diversified in our tenure with retirees, firefighter rank, all the way up. The most senior rank represented in the chaplain corps is a captain. So it gives us the ability to minister to those folks of different ranks and make sure that they're comfortable.
Okay. And you touched a little bit on the diversity of the rank structure and things like that, but I guess what sparred this initiative is we don't have a whole lot of diversity in faith, and that's just kind of how it fell. It's not there. We don't have a lot of different faiths
right.
in our fire department. So the chaplain's corps has reflected predominantly one, but we know we have others, right?
Is yes,
so
sir.
Tell me a little bit about how this partnership was born.
I was connected with Captain Klein through a previous deputy chief that was here on the fire department, and we just started talking, and I know that there's different religious beliefs that are represented on the fire department as well in our city. And I'm Southern born and bred. So being in the Bible Belt, that is what I was prominently raised on, and that's what I know. But I knew that there was other religious preferences represented. So the need for us to be able to understand the different viewpoints of different people, it just worked out well that we can have this resource. And the fire department, we're so resourceful anyhow, and we look for different partnerships, we look for different networks on how we can better serve the citizens, but we also look at different ways that we can better serve our peers. And this is just an awesome opportunity to partner with somebody that does this day in and day out that can kind of guide us and direct us and just be that resource that we can tap into when we run into a situation that we're not familiar with.
What were your thoughts when you heard this opportunity? I mean, you seem to be a pretty excited guy to get out and do this work, do God's work.
Absolutely. So I'm an all or nothing kind of guy. So for me, it was never a scenario when I got the orders coming to Fort Bragg and coming out here to Fayetteville that I'd just do my job and just take care of the soldiers assigned to me and just lead a service at one time in one place. I knew all along that I'm likely going to be one of maybe a very small number or maybe one of one. And so coming out here, immediately got involved in community, got to know a number of city leaders, got super involved in the police department chaplaincy. And when Garrett reached out to me, I remember exactly when we had the conversation, and he said, listen, we're developing this chaplain corps within the fire department, a tremendous need. And we could use a little bit of expertise, A, and B, a little bit more of that diversity. So expertise, I'm always happy to share. One of the things that's unique in chaplaincy is we all come to the table with our strong, very strong pastoral and theological identity, rather. But one of the things that I feel very blessed that the Army has taught me and invested in me is how to further my chaplain skills. And we have a number of continued trainings, and I invest in myself through additional certifications, and to be able to pour that into to colleagues that are doing this potentially as an additional duty or, as Garrett mentioned, as a retiree, it's awesome. But additionally, in the interfaith and diversity side of things, I think it's absolutely awesome that again, the fire department leadership has identified that we should make sure that we are doing as much outreach as possible. And it's very unique that we have chaplains on Fort Bragg, chaplains within the Army, but also a handful of other faith leaders throughout the community that I've been able to network with and tap and say, hey, can we get you involved? Are you willing to be on a call roster if a crisis, if an emergency was needed, either internally within the department or even externally, potentially when responding to an incident or a scene? And that's really been the value that I've been able to provide. And Garrett and I are in touch regularly. We're constantly collaborating. And actually, as we're having this recording, we just wrapped up one of our regular, typically monthly trainings and opportunities for the Fire Department Chaplain Corps.
So what, when you brought up training, what the fire department before Scott got involved, what kind of training do we send our chaplains to? Is there even such a thing before we met him? Is there some kind of training on whether it be active listening or things like that we're investing into our chaplains? Is that something we've done in the past?
Not necessarily. It's kind of up to the individual chaplain to invest in themselves, kind of like Scott was mentioning. However, there are opportunities for us that the department sponsors us to be able to go to like a critical incident stress management course, which helps after a response to a traumatic call, whether it be a mass casualty or just something that bothers somebody. And I've been to those. A number of the other chaplains have been to those. Peer support is somebody that we work with internally within the fire department, and North Carolina Peer Support puts out an awesome program that a lot of our chaplains have been through. Through my denomination, the Church of God, their chaplains commission, I've completed all their training that they provide, and the department is willing and able to sponsor our chaplains to do any type of training that the guys want to do. So that's a benefit that we have, an administration that supports and understands the need for chaplaincy and peer support.
What kind of stuff are you bringing to the table that we might not have thought of or seen? What kind of training can we expect as this partnership grows?
You mentioned active listening, which is great. That ministry of presence is really important. That idea of, we talked about it this morning, the idea of not necessarily saying the right words, But often just being there to listen. So one of the things that we have done together that we're constantly encouraging the chaplains is to do station visits, sometimes just to show up in the chaplain capacity, not in the captain or whatever other leader capacity, but as a chaplain and being there. We're also doing a lot of outreach around birthdays and just checking in on families, especially this holiday time of year, which is important. And one of the other trainings that I'm really passionate about is moral injury. In the past number of years, especially during the wars, the global war on terror, post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, has become essentially part of our vocabulary. And that's a certain type of injury. There's also moral injury. And chaplains are uniquely positioned to be able to respond, to listen, to help guide individuals through that form of trauma. And so we've been bringing a lot of those topics, talking about how to deal with interfaith situations, again, with the general public, but also within the department. You're right that, many folks essentially are of the same general faith, although lots of different denominations, different denominations. But we do have, and I know you're very passionate about recruiting the best and brightest. We want to make sure that our chaplain corps is able to provide that support to anybody that comes through. So we're going to work on a robust 2026, training plan. And I just have the utmost respect and admiration for the chaplains that are doing this, because we all come to the table with our own, call it baggage, our own challenges. And to be able to put that aside, to be able to do these station visits, to listen intently, to be there, to provide that listening ear, and occasionally to pray with those individuals and provide that support. I've already heard the success stories, the people's lives that have been changed simply through this program. So again, a huge shout out to the Fire Department Administration for prioritizing the resilience of the team that does so much for our community.
You brought up the word moral injury, which kind of leads into the next question I was going to ask. What does that mean? What does moral injury mean?
So moral injury typically is an injury that's caused by one of three situations: commission, omission, or an act of betrayal. Many folks that go through moral injury, they may have done something and they're struggling with that act. Omission, they may have not acted when perhaps they feel that they could have. And an act of betrayal. Often folks feel injured by an institution or by an environment that they're around, and they're struggling with it. And you'd be amazed at how many people struggle with moral injury for years. It's actually now actually a diagnosis. It's actually something that's being talked about in the medical world as, again, there's no physical signs. You can't see a bruise on their body, but nonetheless, it is an injury. And again, chaplains, that's our lane. That's where we step up. And I think for the fire department in particular, I get giddy and excited. I know you can tell about investing in our people.
And the reason I asked you to kind of define that is when you're in the fire service or the military, and it is very family oriented and very service oriented. If you're suffering from something like that, how can you be the best to protect and help and serve your fire family and your community when you're unable to get past your whatever that moral injury is? You're not the best. So I guess what I'm getting at is there's been a lot of focus here lately on health and wellness of firefighters, taking care of our hearts, taking care of our brains, and now we're talking taking care of our spiritual health and the importance of that. So to me, it's not a new conversation, but I feel like it's a new way to have the conversation. Is that kind of accurate?
It's 100% accurate. And the term that, again, I've learned mostly through my military capacity, but just in general, I'm really passionate about holistic health and fitness. You're absolutely right. We talk about physical health. We talk about mental health. Yes. Talk about sleep. We talk about nutrition. But again, our spiritual health is so important as well. And again, this is a proven fact. Folks that have the resources to turn to, folks that are more spiritually healthy, meaning that they have somebody to talk to, they're better able to perform their job. And that's, I know, what the city and what the citizens and the residents expect from their firefighters is that they're going to be ready to respond at a moment's notice. So by us investing in our chaplains, which is my goal, and our chaplains investing in our firefighters, it actually creates a better department. So absolutely correct.
So on the fire side, do you also find that even if we have our peer support team, which I try not to say that the chaplains are the religious side and the peer support teams, I try not to say that or paint it that way, but do you often or sometimes find yourself with somebody who isn't spiritual, who isn't religious, still reaching out to the chaplain's corps for that moment they're having, that injury they're having, the whatever is going on? Do you find that in the fire service?
I think kind of like the whole concept of the chaplain corps is having that ministry of presence. And through that, you build relationships with an array of people. And by having that relationship, whether they're religious or not religious, they're going to want to talk to you. And just being able to be there for them in their time of need, because you've already established that relationship. I am religious, I am a Christian, and I believe what I believe, but I don't push that on somebody that comes to use me as a resource. That's not the time or place for that. My job there is to be that active listener, to encourage them, and just help them navigate, like I said earlier, through their life struggles, and just bridge that gap between where they are currently and where they want to be, physically, mentally, and spiritually.
Yeah, and in the military, I used to compare it back in the height of the war days when you're talking, you know, 2003 to 2010, right? They were gone all the time. They were seeing it every day. Now, it's a little bit less. They're not as deployed as often. They're not in war zones as often as opposed to the firefighters. We're not gone for a year at a time, but every other day we are in these stressful environments. And what is that kind of comparable with the military as far as the types of struggles people have? They're very similar, right? From emergency services to military, the types are pretty similar, right?
It's very similar. We send folks out into, we train as we fight. And yeah. So we're always ready for what's next. We ask a lot from our people, and that's just a general statement, whether it's in the fire department or in the military or wherever else, we ask a lot from our people. Again, chaplains investing in people is important. And one of the things that we want to do is, you know, provide the mentorship, the advice, to be that voice of reason. One of the things that has impressed me about our chaplains is that when they are in that capacity, they are a chaplain. They could speak to the leadership. They could speak to the chiefs and be able to provide that advice and give a pulse, get a pulse, and provide that pulse of the morale, and ethics of the department as well. And that's absolutely a role of a chaplain, and I think one of the most critical roles as well. We also, just to sort of insert another term into the conversation, I always say that we perform or provide. So again, in this conversation, we have two different faiths, and that means that there's capabilities that are available to the department of different faiths. But if somebody would come to the table and say, hey, my faith is not represented over here, one of the key roles that a chaplain does is we provide, we network, we reach out, and we find the resources that are available. And I will say that here in this beautiful city, we have a lot of resources, a plethora of resources. And even though we might have a decent-sized population, it's a small community. People know each other.
I always say we're the biggest little town in America.
Absolutely.
You know, we're not a big city, but we're a big little town. There's a lot of opportunity and resources here. So that's super cool. Super excited about the future of developing the program and watching it grow and being, you know, I may be an end user of, you know, the service of the Chaplains Corps. But when we talk about the different faiths and backgrounds in the military, just like the fire service, we celebrate a lot of things together, whether it's birthdays or coming up on Thanksgiving, Christmas, Hanukkah. What kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Does the military have similar, how like we have Christmas dinner in the fire station, right? Military have similar stuff. How are they celebrating the holidays in the military when they're stuck at work the way we are on those holidays?
Yeah. So again, a lot of networking, lots of bringing the chaplains play a huge role in often serving a Thanksgiving meal and making sure that folks feel cared for. I just read, I think we're doing a Operation Cookie Drop, all the folks that have to man all the checkpoints and the gates during the holiday season. A whole bunch of us are running around and delivering warm cookies on that day to take care of people. So there's, of course, this is the time of year. It is a religious time of year, which is beautiful, in my opinion. The many different faith traditions that are celebrated all in December, pretty much, I think, all of the faiths have a holiday, which is great. And we're going to have a lot of services and a lot of programs. You're absolutely right. Chaplains celebrate this season by taking care of people, taking care of our families, and making sure that they have what they need. So right now, we were talking offline. My office is filled with items loaded up. I barely have a place to work because we have so many donations coming in, as well as so many things going out. And you know, the circle of life, you know, one day you might be able to donate. The next day you might need something, but nobody should be suffering in silence during this holiday season. If any of the fire department is listening and they have a need, I encourage them, find one of our chaplains, and I guarantee you, we will find the resources for them. We regularly text and in prayer when we are aware of somebody that's in need of prayer. We all join together across our different denominations and traditions and, you know, reaching out. So it could be practical, it could be spiritual, but all of those resources are key.
Yeah, what's the holidays look like in the fire station?
As you mentioned, the fire department, we're one big family. So it's a good time that we can take our stations and kind of evolve it from a workplace to more like our home by putting up our trees, putting up our Christmas lights and things of that nature. And the fire department's done a good job about creating a Christmas light contest that we've had and just making the fire stations feel more like home to the guys that are working. One thing to note during this special time of year is how many grieving people that we have. You hear of the holiday blues, and there's so many things that families have went through this year that this might be their first holiday season without their loved ones or living in a different living arrangement. So that's a good time for us as chaplains to be able to be that love and support that person may need.
Yeah, and I try to explain to people a lot of folks look at me when I say I love working on holidays. They look at me like I'm crazy. Like, who wants to work on Christmas? And I try to explain to them, you think about people in different phases of their life. All of my family is between 250 and 600 miles away. This is my family. If I want a family holiday, it is at a fire station. And everybody who has local family comes to the station, hangs out, has dinner with us. We've set up tables in the bay because we can't fit everybody in the kitchen. And it's just, it's an atmosphere that if you're not in the military or you're not in emergency services, a lot of people just don't understand that for some of us, this is our family holiday, right? You know? So it's just awesome to have you guys. Chaplains Corps has been around for a while. Have you as a resource, the military partnership we're building, having as a resource. And one thing that I try to get out to folks is we don't have a lot of spiritual diversity on the fire department. Most people identify as a Christian, not all. But even if they're not a Christian, we don't have a lot of people of other specific faiths, but we're starting to get them.
Right.
So people to know is if you are working for the Fayetteville Fire Department and you are a Muslim, share your faith traditions with your crews, right? If you are Jewish, share your faith traditions with your crews. And they're going to be excited to learn about it. If they care about you, they're going to want to know about it. Am I right?
Right.
So, I mean, it's you see that in the military too, where people are kind of like, this is different. Tell me more. Do you see that?
That's awesome. We have so much I mean, we're busy, but we also have those times we always say, hurry up and wait. We're sitting around waiting for that situation. Some amazing conversations you get to know about people's lives before the military, as well as, again, faith traditions, which is absolutely awesome. So absolutely share it. I have seen enormous respect for each other, which is great. People want to learn, and absolutely the same is true. We're a family. And as a family, yes, we might look different, sound different, maybe practice a little something. We eat some Hanukkah foods. There's some Christmas foods, maybe some Kwanzaa and all sorts of stuff.
They're going to bring people together. The food is what's going to bring people together.
Yeah. Please invite me to your holiday celebrations. I'm down.
When we first hired Ibrahim, and I'll share this, you know, knowing that he's cool with it. When we first hired Ibrahim, he was, to my knowledge, the first practicing Muslim that worked for us. And I actually preemptively went to him and I was like, hey, man, is there anything that I can or we can do to accommodate your prayer schedule? Because I had a preconceived notion in my head of what Muslim prayer looks like. Was I wrong? Yes. I had that image in my head. And I said, obviously, if there's a call, you got to go to the call. You can't miss that. If you're in the middle of training, you can't miss that. But is there anything that we can do? Extended breaks, da, da, da. And he looked at me and he said, Cap, you ain't got to do nothing. I think God would much rather me save a life than pray at the specific time of this thing. And it really opened, and I was like, awesome. It just opened up a conversation. And I learned so much from him just by asking that one question. It opened up the doors to learn so much more about what he believes and how he practices and lives out his faith. I can't wait to see us grow that in the Fayetteville Fire Department.
Well, you're basically an honorary chaplain then. You asked exactly the right question.
I ask a lot of questions. I tell everybody I don't know everything, but I want to know as much as I can know. I'm constantly going to ask questions if I don't understand something, because if I don't know what I don't know, but if I know I don't know something, I'm going to ask because I want to know. That's just my personality. So any final parting words on the programs, the partnerships, the great work that you guys are doing?
My biggest thing is we don't know you have a need unless you bring it to us. So my prayer is for you not to suffer in silence, to reach out when you need to reach out, whether it be to a chaplain, whether it be to somebody on the peer support, whether it just be a peer that's on your company. But don't bottle up your emotion. Let it come out, and let your struggles be dealt with in a healthy manner instead of turning to alcohol or bad habits. Make sure that you're getting the help that you need.
I couldn't be more proud to be a part of this effort, of our chaplains, of our department. I'm here for a bunch more years and look forward to continuing our awesome partnership. I feel blessed. I believe I get far more out of this than I give, and I look forward to doing as much as possible, learning together, praying together, and just taking care of people.
And I just want to thank you guys so much for joining us today, and to everybody out there listening. We're coming up on the holiday season. Whatever you celebrate, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa.
Thanks for joining us on the Fayetteville Fire Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to Radio Fayetteville on your favorite streaming platform to listen to all of our podcasts. Join us again next month, but until then, stay safe, Fayetteville.